My co-hosts this morning are Richard Manson of Flying Elephant and also Ali Al Saloom, ambassador for the UAE. And I've made you that now, official. It's official. It's official. You will know Ask Ali's books, the guidebooks, Ask Ali books to Dubai and guidebooks to Abu Dhabi, and his portal where just thousands and thousands of people each year go through his portal, Ask Ali, asking those questions as visitors to the UAE, or for those of us living here who just want to know more about Emirati culture, where to go in the Emirates and how to be when we are living here or on holiday here as well. We're going to be talking in a little while about the dress code. This has been in the news recently. Also, somebody, you're talking about social networking, Ali, I think it was last week, a friend of mine contacted me through Facebook from the UK, saying that she'd just been listening to BBC World Service and talking about there being a law enforced regarding dress code here. So we'll come back to that in a little while. But we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan as we are approaching that very special time. And James has texted in asking about the legalities of Ramadan. So where do we stand legally when it comes to Ramadan?
Well, obviously, it's nothing new in terms of enforcing it as a Islamic month, because that's part of our own calendar, the Arabic, the Hijri, the unlike the English, you know, Gregorian calendar. So it's part of our own Arabic calendar, which has a tradition and culture, and at the same time, regulations that we have to go through for any Muslim in order for you to complete your own Islamic, practice of the religion, and therefore we all have to fast now. Because this is a Muslim country, that means all of us have to fast, unless you go under the category of those who are dismissed of being fasting, fasting the holy month of Ramadan. In terms of legality of it, some emirates have put already laws that says if you drink or eat, smoke, and here we mean that you are literally outside in public doing this in purpose without any good reasons for why you're doing it, then obviously there will be results on that could be leading you to questions or security or so on, and therefore you see.
And is that for Muslims or for everybody?
For everybody, my goodness, for Muslims it still is not as less. It's probably even more. The other thing is that some other emirates don't have such a law in terms of outside in public, but it implements it through their organization. So let's look at the UAE as a whole, complete, nation as a one organization, right? So each emirate has its own councils, organizations, companies, factories, taxis, people waiting in different metros, taxi stations. What else? Because nobody's really walking under this 50 degrees, correct? Like most of them are inside buildings. Now, these buildings have all the right to put their own laws. Therefore, a hotel, for example, has the law by the law that they have to stop, serving alcohol, for example, for a certain time. Some of them will shut down their, bars or their own, their discos and things like that. But there's also areas that are open as an alternative. The point here is that the period of us being fasting from early morning and down all the way till the sunset is the period where this whole nation is going through this system, not a one on the other. All of them are the same. Now, people have to understand that some other Islamic countries shut down the whole country. Sister destinations, close from us. Sister, it closes the whole nation. That means there's no functions of any work and so on, schools and so on. And here, it's different. You're still working, you're still going to the malls, you're still going to the hotels, you're still going to the beach if you want. It's completely fine. The only thing is, there are little bit of these, of understandings that you have to go through so you don't fill into these gaps of ignorance or ignorantly of saying that you don't know, that, it's wrong and so on. So that's it. So from a legal point of view, yes, we have both. There is a legal that is in public and there is legal through the organizations.
And from a religious point of view, what is the relevance and reasons for the fast, for the month fast?
Well, you see, fasting, Ramadan itself as a month being part of the Arabic calendar and all of this, the word itself, Ramadan, comes from heat and, the hot. So I think it fits perfectly in this summer now. But the whole concept, I would like just to share one thing, which is, fasting is not an invention by Islam. It is not the religion of Islam that actually brought it the way it is. It existed from many centuries ago and from thousands of years ago, before Jesus and,
610 AD.
There you go. So you already have a figure.
And Ramadan is derived from the Arabic word meaning perched Thirst.
There you go.
And is also the name of the 9th month of the lunar calendar.
Absolutely. So, you know, if we go through all the history, we will see that in each religion there is an aspect of fasting. Now, what is the significance of it? Many people could say their own versions of it, but it's like, you know, giving charity of your own body to God and to your own, into the to the whole world in a different way. Rather than giving money only, today your body goes through this, you know, like filtration, and you know, you go through all of this, you know, feeling the hungry people and feeling the people in need, feeling the goods and the deeds that you actually have, the goods that you already have, maybe tomorrow you don't have it. You go through all of that so you can easily in the future go through the appreciation and thank God for everything that you have. So there's a different ways of looking at Ramadan. Based, some people take it as a religion thing that you only have to do it, fast, pray, end of story. But there is no spirituality behind it. There is no understanding and appreciation of, you know, the significance of being without any water, without any you know, food and so on. But the way that I always like to explain it is the way that my father used to say it all the time to me. He says, this is the time where you give up all of the halal things, which is all of the lawful things that God has allowed you to do, which is food, drinking, breathing, and of course being in an intimacy relationship. All of these 3-4 things that God has given you as your right to do in Ramadan, you put all of that aside for the sake of, you know, the spirituality factor of going back to God.
And I suppose it puts every man and woman in that time on the same level, on the same footing. So materialism,
that's so true.
And everything is stripped away, isn't it?
And that's what I like about Ramadan, is this idea that people are sharing an experience. Everybody's going through this together. And yeah, it's a very powerful thing, isn't it?
That's the whole family. It brings people together. You know, this whole new time now with everybody so busy, we really find it so difficult to stay with our moms or pops to actually have lunch and so on. But during Ramadan, everybody comes together. You finish work, you know, in early hours. You all get together at home for the first time of the year. You're actually sitting together other than Friday whenever you can. And you have everybody around you, and you basically, you know, break fast and enjoy that. And of course, it's a time where everybody have to and must let go of any anger, let go of any upsetness that they have with other people, and to make friends again with everybody around. So you forgive, and that's the, you know, the main thing. And you go back, and it's an opportunity to kind of reset the clock again of saying, you know, have I been to the mosque? You know, have I gone less or more? I have to go more. Have I read the Holy Quran? You know, I think unfortunately with this whole temptation that we live in terms of, you know, modernism and so on, some of us, not of course all of us, but some of us probably didn't have the time to read the Holy Quran, to go through its teachings, and so on. And this is the period where it is an opportunity for us. But we have to remember as well, I mean, as much as we speak so positive about this, there is also the temptation part of it, which is, you know, that takes you away from all of this. The food, the extra food, and the festivals at evening, and the shopping, and so on and so on.
We'll get to all of that. Just reading here, the first verses of the Quran were revealed during the month of Ramadan.
Absolutely.
And the very first word was read. During the month of Ramadan, as well as other times during the year, Muslims are encouraged to read and reflect on God's guidance.
Absolutely. It's always been linked, the significance of the holy month of Ramadan is the month of the holy book. So it's when it was actually revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And, you know, you're right, the first word was read, and all came together in this very, you know, special month that people always reflect to. And therefore, you will see a lot of your colleagues who are Muslims during the holy month of Ramadan will have an opportunity to basically read the holy book. So they have a small version of the Holy Quran, and they will actually read it, and they go through it as much as they could, because we have to recite it as much as we could during the holy month of Ramadan and complete it.
Good morning to you, Elena. She's saying, just 1 week before and after Ramadan, when I drink water in the car, I'm thinking what time it is and look around, and it makes me smile. I've been here since 1999, and I would never eat in front of my colleagues that are fasting. And she goes on to say that on my first year in Dubai, 1999, I was smoking, and during the beginning of Ramadan, and I finished my work shift in a shop, and as I walked from the shop to the supermarket, I lit a cigarette. I know, disgusting habit, she says, and people were looking at me, and I walked for a few minutes, and then I realized that it was Ramadan, and I wanted to die of embarrassment. So just how we are affected by this time.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, my goodness, this is like exactly the opposite story of which happened 3 years ago. one of the European ladies basically went to a gas station, lit a cigarette and had a soda, and an old Emirati lady saw that action and she was really upset, so she told her what you're doing, and that expat lady took the cigarette and actually threw it outside. Oh. and she started continuing the drink and the soda, and I remember like being asked, you know, what should we write about or what should we say, and I said let's wait for the report and see what really happened. And the whole thing was when the police came and tried to, you know, solve the problem, they actually fined her for littering the ground.
littering the
ground, not because of that, and they said, you know, why is that, and they said we asked her, didn't she know? So everybody could always lie the first time and say I don't know, it's Ramadan. But
can I just say that smoking in a gas station at any time of the year,
thank you,
shouldn't be happening.
That is exactly what I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, there's so many things that people do, sometimes they know that this is actually not part of the culture, this is not part of you being, you know, normal anyway, but people do it. So for Ramadan, I hope and I pray that we don't want people to fear. We don't want people to think, oh my goodness, I'm going to go to jail, this is going to be wrong. No. It's not
that. Not even that extreme of going to jail, but feel bad for the other person. Now, I think in certain situations, you should feel bad.
Yes.
And in others, you shouldn't feel bad.
Yes. So now with feeling bad and not doing it again or stopping it on spot, now that's the great acceptance of it. But if you don't, you know, if you felt embarrassed, but that's not enough, because you feel embarrassed, then you did it, you probably will do it again. But you have to remind yourself, once you are during holy month of Ramadan, you have to put yourself, like, you have to kind of know exactly where you're going, and, you know, are you dressing the right dress and all of that kind of stuff. So, but for someone to feel, you know, embarrassed that way and feel bad, obviously it's sweet.
They've
nice
acknowledged
and,
it.
Yeah, they acknowledged
it. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? When we come back, we'll be addressing the question, if you are not a Muslim, should you still be fasting, though, or at least acknowledging, like in the workplace, places like that, should you be getting out your lunch? Should you be drinking your coffee? Even if there isn't anybody else in the room that it is fasting or a Muslim.